The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
If they'd never thrown the concussion grenades, if they'd never used the pepper spray, this wouldn't have happened. It was a peaceful protest. I was standing within 15 feet of the line of officers.
They started firing at us before anybody did anything to them. We were not rushing them. There was no advance on them. They just started throwing concussion grenades and pepper spray.
That gentleman right there, that guy could be your uncle. He could be your doctor. He could be your teacher. He's clean cut, looked to be about 55, 60 years old. That was the J6 insurrection. And he's saying that the police fired percussion grenades into the crowd and started all the violence and everything that went on there. We're going to play that again coming out of break, so be tuned in now and listen to what he has to say.
Well, Nick, let's get started. Good morning, Nick Gardner, Doug Janke, Poke the Hornet's Nest, and we're going to do some poking today, are we, Nick?
Oh, I hope so. Did you bring your blow-up doll?
Not with the people that we're dealing with today, anyway. So, it's funny is now that Mike Johnson has released all of the, I think it's Mike Johnson, released all of the tapes, or released supposedly all the tapes, the entire narrative that it was an insurrection, it was this and that, is falling apart massively. The only people who still believe it's an insurrection are liberals. So, but they believe a lot of things. They believe that we should cut healthy breasts off young girls and take personal parts off young boys, and that men should compete in women's sports. So liberals are not exactly a gauge that I would go off of. But yes, there's a lot of that stuff coming out now that was not shown to the public.
And there's video of them opening those, what were they, 8-10 doors that can only be opened from
the inside,
and inviting the public in.
Yeah.
You know, this was all made up so they could call an emergency, cancel the electors' votes, and then have an emergency meeting. It was specifically to shut Ted Cruz up.
Yep.
And it was all planned out.
Well, of course it was planned out. I mean, you know, more and more evidence is coming out about how the feds had instigators in there that were pushing people forward. I remember I was watching, I think it was something on Epic Times, not terribly long after the event, and they had found this Asian lady who was doing a reporting for, some Asian newspaper. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, she was pointing out what was going on and for her audience, and she showed that when that young lady got shot by the black officer,
Yes.
She was showing that as soon as the gunshot rang out, she panned and she had this guy who immediately started going down the steps, took off his clothes that was supporting Trump, and then was walking away. And she was able to identify that he was at Portland, he was at the other riots for Antifa and BLM, and she was doing a whole reportage on it. And it was, you know, like I said, it was some lady who was doing it for an Asian newspaper. The evidence was overwhelming. We just never got to hear it.
That's right. And, I think maybe we should sacrifice, what's her name, Nancy Pelosi. Let's send her over as a sacrifice to Hamas.
Well, you know what? All these people who are supporting Hamas, you know, the gays, the trans, the lesbians, whatever, they wouldn't last for like 5 seconds. They would be put behind cars. I actually saw something I think you shared with me about, you know, what they do with homosexuals. And so these folks are supporting people who would kill them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
But we've got a lot of stuff to cover this week. Mr. Mark Mazzano was completely screwed out of a position on the city council, and then we've got more hysterics at the Board of Supervisors. What do we want to start off with, Nick?
Well, I wanted to start off with this deal I stumbled across. You know, I woke up about 1 in the morning, and my little tablet was on Citizens Free Press, and I turned it on and looked at it. Sometimes I'll read for a half hour, and I can go back to sleep. And here was this that I'm going to read to you on there. And I read it, and I put the tablet down, and I thought, well, I'll just go back to this in the morning, and I'll copy it down. And something was telling me to do it right now, so I copied it down. And in the morning when I went to it, it wasn't there.
Really?
Yes. And this is, the title is, A Cashless Society is the End of Freedom Forever.
Yep.
And here's the things. There is no going back. You will be told what you can buy. Your money can be programmed. Bills and fines will be paid without question. Accounts can be frozen at any time. Every transaction is recorded. Your carbon footprint will be monitored and charged. Account bans for social misdemeanors.
Yep.
That's the Great Reset, folks. We really need to fight this cashless society.
Well, you know, Nick, it's the United States of China is what they're going for. China already has this system pretty much in place that if you should fall a caste of society, they actually put you on billboards around the country. So they come up on billboards, and there's Nick Gardner. He's a, you know, bad person, and you can't get on trains.
That wasn't me. That was my Chinese cousin. You can tell with the slant in the eyes.
But the point being is that they're already doing that. And if you want to go travel on a train, you can't go. If you want to fly, you can't go. If you want to buy anything other than just the minimum basic food, they shut you down. This is probably one of the biggest issues in the history of our country, if not the biggest. Because if that falls in, if Biden and the boys get it in there, when's the last time that a federal program actually got taken away? Never.
When's the last time one worked?
Yeah.
You know, but what they're doing is they're collapsing our society. They're going to try and make us beg the government.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. They want us to beg the government for safety, and then they'll implement all these things. Look at the homeless problem and the crime problem we have.
Yeah.
And they're not reporting the crime. I'll bet not 10% of the crime that's committed here in our home community of Reading is reported.
Well, you know, the reality is, you know, we could go through the top 10 list of all the great liberal ideas, and every one of them is an absolute disaster destroying our country. But crime is one of those that they are purposely doing, because they've got to make the people live in fear. And when people are in fear, they look for something out of themselves. And in this case, they want bigger government. And what these people don't understand is, you know, it's going to come back and boomerang around on them, and then we won't forget that they put us there. That's the catch.
Well, you know, by then, Biden and Cruz taking all our guns, what are we going to do?
Well, you know, it's funny. As I mentioned this, Trish Clark let me be a co-host on Monday because Carl was in Vegas, and so I got to go on there, and I brought up to Trish that I had recently gone to recertify for my CCW. And I got to be honest, I'm thinking of not renewing it. There are 33 new unbelievable new guidelines and laws and restrictions and places you can't go, that if you're going to be a legal, law-abiding CCW carrier, it's almost turning you into a criminal, because if you drive by a school, you're too close, you technically should have your gun locked in your safe. If you can't go to restaurants, I mean, basically the liberals, and it was voted on 100% by liberals and 100% against by conservatives, the liberals have basically turned every spot that a mass shooting would happen into a gun-free zone. You can basically carry your gun out in the middle of the country.
It's got to be in a locked box, and the ammunition's probably got to be in the trunk.
Well, you know, the best part about that is the stupidity, and I'm sorry, folks. I don't use nice words about liberals anymore because they're destroying our country, and if you don't agree with me, that's too bad. The problem is, imagine, Nick, you or I are driving down the road. Let's just argue. We're driving. We got our CCW. Oh, crap. Here comes a school. I got to stop. Now you got to get out of your car, pull your weapon out, put it in your safe, and somebody drives by. What does that look like? You know, you're trying to be law-abiding, and now to be law-abiding, you're going to maybe instigate where somebody's going. I saw some guy pulling a gun out of his thing when he was 500 feet from mistletoe school. They've made it so that the people who are actually the most law-abiding, honest citizens based on background checks, they're taking away their ability to carry a weapon, which is a given a right in the Second Amendment.
You know what they don't want? They don't want a good guy with a gun.
Well, no. But the bad guys with guns don't have any problem with it. They have no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, I can assure you, Holland has one of the worst gun laws things in the world. You can only own a gun if you belong to a membership. You have to leave the gun at the club, and you can only shoot it at the club. And I can promise you, I still read the Dutch newspaper every day. They have shootings all the time. The criminals somehow don't abide by the rules. That's really weird.
I saw a bumper sticker 30 years ago. It said, if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns.
Yep. Well, that's unfortunately getting to be the point where us law-abiding citizens are. We have to be an outlaw to protect ourselves. And my wife and I are coming to the decision, we're going to have to make a choice. And you folks listening, you're going to have to make the same choice. you can go get your CCW and be a quote-unquote good law-abiding citizen, but realize that you're pretty much not allowed to carry it almost anywhere, or you're going to have to carry and protect yourself and deal with the ramifications if something hits the fan. And I'm leaning towards the second one, because to be lawful and legal means I'm a victim. To be unlawful and protected means I'm a criminal. I'm trying to decide which way to go.
You know, it wasn't too long ago. I think that England outlawed guns, and they were having so many knife attacks.
Yes.
You've got to have some kind of a permit to go in and buy a butcher knife.
Well, you know, the best part about that, again, stupid liberals, is they outlawed guns. They tried to, you know, they did the gun confiscation crap. Then they started having these massive knife attacks, mostly from people of Middle Eastern descent. That's a statement of fact. Look it up. It's not being racist. It's just a fact. And so they tried to outlaw knives in London.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So when they did that, they imported more Muslims.
You know, what do? You bring in the offending party and you give them more opportunity, because, of course, they're not going to abide by the law. They're going to carry knives all day long.
Sharpen a stick for them.
Well, you know, but on a good news, but since we brought up London, Nick, I wanted to let you know positively that another liberal bonus is
a bonus
liberal today. Thank you. Is they are in their green agenda in London or in England proper. It costs now more to charge up your electric vehicle than it does gas, and the wait can be hours because cars have to wait, you know, 30-40 minutes to charge your thing up. So now for the electric folks who believe in that stuff, it's cost more and it takes longer. It's no wonder why electric vehicle sales around the world are plummeting. I mean, you've got almost 100,000 electric vehicle cars on dealerships. They can't give away even if they're offering $20,000 discounts.
And so the lobbyists for the electric cars, they have convinced Congress to pass a law that no more internal combustion engine cars can be sold after, what, 30-30?
Yeah, something like that.
That's guaranteeing you.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that we were talking about London. I'd bring up positive liberal news that the electric vehicle is going the way of the dinosaurs, hopefully faster than longer. But so, yeah, you know, Nick, getting back to the guns and everything else, you know, that's a symbol of a society in decay. And on its deathbed is the tyranny has to dearm or disarm the population. Australia has done it. Canada has done it. Germany did it. Russia did it. China did it. They're trying their best to do it here. And I sure hope that the folks that have common sense, are law-abiding, go to work, raise their kids, never give up a gun. Because that's I've told my wife 100 times. You know, we live up in Shingletucky where the people bark and the dogs talk. If they come for the guns, I'm leaving the state. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to do it, because if they're coming for the guns, I'm done. I mean, that's the one thing that I never used to think about. Growing up, I didn't hunt. I didn't own a gun. I didn't shoot a gun. I didn't care. I mean, I remember going back to high school, and this is just funny for a little side note. I mean, you remember going to high school, Nick, and we used to make rifle racks in wood shop, and we'd have loaded 30-30s and 30-06 in the back of our pickup trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I never had one. And after, by the second term of Obama, all of a sudden, I have more, you know, a number of guns. I'm not going to say how many, but I have a number of guns. And I now see why the wisdom of the Constitution is what it is.
I remember when I was a senior in high school, standing in the parking lot before school at Enterprise High School, jacking out shells from my 30-30 with two other guys doing the same thing, and the principal driving by and waving to us.
Yeah.
We'd been road hunting before school. If you call that road hunting, we were drinking beer and listening to KRDG, rock and rolling.
Well, there you go. There's a plug for public education back in the 60s and 70s. I mean, well, Nick, actually, you might have been from the 20s and the 30s, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I know Barney was real popular. I think Barney was our science teacher.
So, yeah, so we've hit on guns. We've hit on that. We've gone to London. We're back to Reading. What do you got, sir?
Well, can Tyler. We've got a new guy here, Tyler, running the show. Tyler, can we have clip number one on the city council? This is where Mark Vizzano gets beat out of his opportunity to be the mayor, an opportunity he worked hard for that he deserved and was taken away for political reasons.
So, and for you folks, hold on. And for you folks that are older than, let's say, 35, there's a word for it. We used to call it railroaded. He got railroaded.
That's exactly right. Let's hit that.
Clip number one here. Here we go. Okay.
Anybody in the council got a motion? Winner, you have a motion?
A little louder if you can.
I have it blasted as hard as I can, guys. Hold on. Let me see if I can get it.
You have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Contrary to popular belief.
Man.
motion is for Sinesa to be mayor.
Yeah, I'm thinking we might want to stop. I can't even hardly get my headphones.
Well, that's too bad because it. I'll tell you what. Let's go to the county clips and maybe we can figure this out and come back. To
okay,
it.
Yeah, we can.
Because
come back
these
to
clips are so good.
Hats off to Mr. DeQuisto.
Let's see here. Where are we going to go now? You're going to go to the city council?
No, I think we got the county is what he wants.
Mad Max and Brad, the idiot.
Okay, so that would be over here saying clips.
1, 2, and 3. There's 3 clips
for that one. Okay. And for you folks listening, that's just Nick. When you were in the 2 week span, he's like, hey, check this clip out, check that clip out. Then we send it to our tech guy to, or tech person to get there. So that's why we're going through numbers.
All right, so let's do this one here.
Integrity. So this is what I learned from Judy. And Kevin, you can dispute this when I'm finished, and I hope you will say something to it. That, number one, you initiated it. You started that. She was walking down to the dais after everything was over, and you said, why don't you just get out of the, how old are you? You 70 years old? She said, I'm 75. You're ancient. Why don't you just get out of this? You don't know anything about county government. And then you said, you sit with all those liars in the audience. You're just a liar, too. Did you say that? And then you know what that leads to? That leads to slander.
Okay, we're done with that clip. We're going to get clip number 2 ready. It's a different site, so it'll take a second. But that was Mad Max, and he looks like the guy that was a professor on Back to the Future on mushrooms.
Yes, and wasn't he the one that was one of the first people to greet us at our recent library jaunt that gave us a couple F-bombs? He looked it looked like the same guy. He said it as he went into the doors. We got three, like almost machine gun-like. I think the guy was carrying a machine gun arsenal of words, and they were all F-bombs at us. So was it the same guy?
I think so. Why don't you tell them about our little experience down at the library?
Will do. So Nick's never one to come up with a great idea, so he comes up with bad ideas, and he sees if I can go with him. And so his latest good, bad idea was there was a recall Kevin Cry meeting at the local library. So Nick thought it would be a really cool idea to go play Louder with Crowder, which is basically he sits down at these events on a table, and he's changed my mind. So basically he's giving these people who are protesting whatever the cause is, an ability to come and talk to him. Well, Nick decided that's what we should do. So we set up a table at the front entry, and we have a sign that says, vote no on Cry recall, change my mind. That's all it is. And 3 of us sat there, Nick, myself, and a lady by the name of Leslie. And then later on, we were joined by another gentleman.
Thomas.
Good morning, Thomas. Anyways, so we just sat there, and we were friendly, and we were talking. And I will say, out of the approximately 20-ish people that went in, 2 actually were very respectful. I won't mention the first lady's name because I think she's a respected local person, but I will give her credit. She brought us pizza, and she had a very polite discourse of going back and forth, and I would say that it was funny is because she would quote a fact and Nick would quote an opposite fact, which they canceled each other out, so they can't both be right. So I want to find out kind of more about that. And then we had a gentleman who came up, and you know, he was a true believer, this, that, and you know, Kevin Cry, you know, and he voted to get rid of the voting machines. And I said, sir, can I ask you a question? It was very respectful, so I got to give the guy credit. He was very nice. He wasn't, you know, there was no hostilities like most liberals. And I go, do you trust the electronic voting machines? He's like, yes, I do. I said, funny enough, I do not, and almost 70% of the country does not. Why are you guys recalling a guy over something that 70% of the country is not in favor of? Yeah, that was his response too. So, you know, I gotta say, Nick had a good idea. We sat there for about an hour. We were actually, funny enough, to the very nice lady who brought us our pizza. We were able to feed, I think, 6 homeless people, Nick.
That's right.
Yeah, so, no, that was Nick's idea, and it was funny is, you know, most of the people walking by just kind of waved and ignored us. One guy in the very beginning, he just had to unload F-bombs and everything else on us, so.
See, the thing is, the reason he got angry is he claimed that Kevin took Reverge and Selmo money, and he didn't approve of that. And the fact of the matter is, to this date, right now, Kevin Cry has not taken any money from Reverge and Selmo.
Well, the lady.
And I believe he's going to take some now because he needs it for this recall battle, and I don't hold it against him if he does.
No, neither do I. But the lady in question, that was the point, counterpoint that her and Nick were making. Nick was saying, no, he didn't. And she was saying, yes, he did, through a special PAC committee, whatever, where, you know, Anselmo gave money to this thing and it went back to Kevin Cry. Well, I would think it would be easy enough to find out, did that in fact happen? Did Anselmo give money to a PAC that went to Kevin, or did he not? Because that was her basic complaint, was that some outsider was controlling our election. Well, welcome to the modern election system. You know, most of the liberal media locally is supported by George Soros or one of his entities. So what are they giving us crap about?
Well, I think where she is goofed up is some of the ads that are run by this PAC supported Kevin, but Kevin didn't have any say-so on whether, you know,
no, that's
they
one of the
ran
things.
Those or not.
Yep.
I imagine he could have said, don't run them if he disliked them, but they were good ads. But he didn't say, hey, use this money to do this, use this money to do that. He got nothing from Anselmo.
Well, and folks, if you don't know politics, I mean, back in 2012, we had that Measure A and Measure B about the shopping center down in Anderson area, the Knighton Road.
Where I kicked your butt on that.
Well, you kicked the shopping center. Measure B. I won 72-28. So I saved Churn Creek Bottom from 26 years of being locked down. So thank you, Nick, for that. But what I'm getting to is, because that was my political entrance into the political world, when you have money, and PACs are called PACs, when they get money from people, they are not in any most direct or communication with a candidate. So these PACs that you will see a lot of money come into, who will do pro or anti candidate advertising, the candidate doesn't control that money and doesn't have a say where it goes. So this is a situation where both of you might in fact be right. Nick, you might say that Kevin did not take any money. That may be a statement of fact. And she may be partially right by saying, well, money went into these PACs and they
did.
That's
not what she said.
That's not what she said. She said Kevin. Yeah, she said he took money.
So I was righter than her.
Well, I don't know who's right, to be honest with you, and I'm going to give you.
Well, you're sitting across from me. Can I be right for once? Let's go to,
no.
Let's go to clip two.
Is that going to be the one from Casey and Art, or we're going to talk about the one on the Shasta County?
Shasta County.
All right, let's rock and roll. It's going to give you an extra about 5 seconds. Is that all right?
Yep. Oh, that's fine. All here right. We go. Here we're popping, man, popping. This is Judy Salter.
From the government, from the county, and then the state, and
nope,
then the federal.
Nope, nope, nope.
You got it all backwards.
Clip number two. That was clip number
one. Oh, clip number two. See, look at that. I was just testing your knowledge.
Well,
for an old guy, he's still sharp.
Yeah, you got it. Here we go. Here's clip number two.
Ah, Nick, come on. You got to be better than that, man.
Anyway, Judy Salter felt insulted.
When, at the end of the last board meeting, I did come up to speak to Supervisor Cry. The chamber was empty. Not quite sure if there was still somebody over here on the staff in the room. But I was actually coming up to say something positive about the charter amendment. I'm not opposed to charter amendments. I was only concerned about the way it was structured.
That's
and I
it.
Wanted to let him know that.
Cut it.
But before I got...
Turn it off. So the point I want to make is Max Mushroom Guy said that Kevin instigated this conversation. She walked up. She instigated the conversation, not Kevin.
Well, no. And, you know, and I
made him out to be a bad guy when he just asked her, you know, you're 70. Why don't you just kind of enjoy the rest of your life instead of being mixed up with politics? And she took offense to that. And Max, he twists it around to where, you know, Kevin's challenging her to a cage fight or something.
Well, I will say, if Kevin factually did say that, and I wasn't there, so I do not know, but let's say he did. I actually personally am a little irritated with it, because the fact of the matter is, you know, there's a certain wisdom that comes with age, and liberals are missing it 99% of the time. But the reality is, if you want engagement, it's mostly the senior citizens. The young people don't give a crap one way or the other. So,
you know,
if Kevin did say that, that's not the right thing to say, because the fact of the matter is, that's the age group that they have the time. Many times they have the resources, and they give a crap. They want to save the country for their liberals don't, but conservatives want to save the country for their grandkids. And
let me hitchhike on that.
Please.
The recall team does have the time, because they're all retired public employees. And they've got nothing to do but sit there and stir up the pot. Now, after they beat up on him for an hour or 2 hours,
yeah.
10 or 12 or 15 people go up there like Mad Max and Brad that's coming up next and spew this garbage at him, they want to be civil after the meeting?
Well, we won't mention names, but there was recently a clip that we played where this person was mentioning, it started off with a personal quip against one of the other supervisors about a personal relationship. Then this person went on to talk about how they need to regain civility at the board. It was like, wait a minute. You started off with a direct piercing, a tomahawk attack on one of the things, and then you go on for the next 2.5 minutes to, say how we need to bring civility back. That's what liberals do. They speak out both sides of their mouth. They throw the poo at the fan, and then everybody else has to pick up the pieces.
Okay, we're going to pick this up after the break. Be sure and listen to the J6 video right after the break, and we're breaking.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Christmas lights do more than glitter and glow. They represent a gift of love given a long time ago. This holiday season, join Historic Haws Farms on a magical journey through Lights on the Farm, presented by the award-winning light designers at Reading Light. Climb aboard Haws Express Railways or travel by country-covered wagons through a spectacular, interactive holiday light show where childhood memories and family traditions come alive. Enjoy a simple country Christmas with cocoa, candy apples, carolers, and a visit with Santa. And as a very special gift from Greg and Nicola Haws, every Thursday night, children 12 and under are free, with special discount pricing for seniors and veterans every Sunday. It's the Haws family way of saying thank you and Merry Christmas. Limited tickets are available, so hurry. Reserve your tickets today at historichaws.com and make a memory. Start a new tradition with your family at Historic Haws Farms Lights on the Farm, where they've been celebrating the holidays for over 150 years.
Wind River Resort and Casino is spreading holiday cheer one Benjamin at a time with our $30,000 holiday cash extravaganza swipe to win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Don't miss our weekly drawings every Thursday in December starting at 7 p.m. 5 lucky winners every half hour are drawn to win up to $500 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Gold Leaf Nursery has you covered. Protect your citrus trees and frost tender shrubs from freezing. Gold Leaf Nursery has frost cloth in assorted sizes and custom cut sizes up to 12 feet wide. Just arrived. Living Christmas trees. Choose from Colorado blue spruce, baby blue spruce, Norway spruce, dwarf Alberta fir trees, and fat Albert blue spruce. Tis the season to be freezing. So don't forget to cover up with frost cloth. Gold Leaf Nursery is open Tuesday through Saturday from 8 to 5. We're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
If they'd never thrown the concussion grenades, if they'd never used the pepper spray, this wouldn't have happened. It was a peaceful protest. I was standing within 15 feet of the line of officers. They started firing at us before anybody did anything to them. We were not rushing them. There was no advance on them. They just started throwing concussion grenades and pepper spray.
Okay, we're going to go right to Brad. He followed Mushroom Guy at the DS talking to the supervisors. Can we hear that
You're
one now?
You're a bully, Kevin. You're our very own conspiracy theorist phenom.
That's not it. It's clip number three.
It is. It's just coming up right about
That's why we're standing up.
Now.
Everybody
there
knows
we go.
You have to stand up to a bully. Be better.
Thank you, Max.
Just let Max go, and now here we go.
Here comes Brad.
Followed by Casey, followed by Mark Kent.
Well, Mark got into it pretty good with him. We're not going
to
play that.
I'd like to start with a question for Kevin. Did we get the money? Mike Lindell? $3 million? Hand counting? He said he'd pay for everything. I'm just asking if you did you get the money. Just for the world out there, he didn't get the money.
That's it. That's the end of the
Patrick
clip
Jones.
That we wanted to play. Now, I heard Kevin Cry tell us about his meeting with Mike Lindell, and Mike Lindell offered to help pay for any litigation.
Any legal defense of challenges to canceling the Dominion thing. That is all Mr. Lindell ever offered. He didn't offer to pay for the entire thing. This person is, as usual, with all liberals, 100% wrong on the facts, but that's what they do.
And he came up with an amount.
And he came up with an amount. Well, it's
$3 million to pay for everything. What a bunch of bull.
Well, you know, the whole thing about this recall is made up of just a bunch of crap, and that's because even the folks who are out there getting the signatures, if you went and stopped and talked to them, they just pulled stuff out of their butt and they had no idea. Well, it's going to cost millions of dollars to run a new election. Well, even Leslie or Kathy, her projection, not based on reality, but her projection was it was going to be 1.5, and these guys were quoting $3 and $4 million. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. That's what makes them liberal.
That's what Jeff told them.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. And so, you know, that's another situation where...
In case you don't know who Jeff is, it's Jeff Godert. He's the leader of this. He's the instigator.
Well, you know, folks, like, let's break this down for 3 seconds. We've got a local recall going. The guy was in office almost a month or so, and they started the immediate trying to get this guy recalled after being on the job 1 month. Not 4 years, not 2 years, not 1 year. It was like 1 month and one vote. They decided they needed to get rid of this guy, and they have spewed absolute hatred at this gentleman, and he hasn't even really been able to get his feet wet or the ears going. And they've just said that he's basically the next coming of the devil. And the reality is he hasn't even had a chance to really do anything except make two votes, of which I support both. Get rid of Dominion, and then him and the crew, and they all with the crew for the record, voted to get the casino to actually start paying for their services. I don't see the problem here. You know, and they're like, oh, well, it's a civility.
The
spewing of the civility is lost on the liberals. They come up and just call this group of people the most heinous stuff, and it's always, well, we need to be civil. What about them?
The thing about the casino is they blame Kevin for it, and all Kevin did was remind them if they didn't bring this up on the agenda, the casino was planning on pulling out. It was Timmy Garmin that negotiated the deal, as far as I know.
That's what I've been told.
However unlikely that bit. I want to go back to our deal at the library. Vote no on Kevin Cry. Changed my mind. I had a shirt made up. It says, don't be a, and there's a picture of Alfred E. Newman on it, recall retard. And what I mean by that is that, first, I didn't know retard's a bad word. I guess it's as bad as the N-word. They keep coming up with this crap all the time.
Well, they've got to control the language to control you, so they've got to make new words.
My point is, if you vote to recall Kevin Cry with false information, it's a retard recall vote.
Well, retard still shows up in the Webster's Dictionary as a legitimate word, and until liberals actually rewrite the dictionary, which they will do, they'll get rid of a lot of words. That's what tyranny do. This one lady came up, and sir, that's a very offensive word. You know what's offensive to me? Liberal. Being called an ist, being called deplorable, being called every conceivable bad name that these liberals can come up with, that pisses me off. So the fact that this lady was so offended by one word that growing up was almost a sign of affection when we would we'd call all of our friends, you know.
Well, that's right!
And now all of a sudden, one word has this lady on the hackles ready to jump off. Well, I bet you she completely supports the tearing apart of children and the trans drag hour. I'm sure she supports all that, but Nick got an earful about the fact he had one word called retard. So, Nick.
And you know what? I don't care.
No, you shouldn't.
I'll use that word all I want. I'll use the N-word if I want to.
Well,
I won't be using it. I don't want to, but if I want to, I will.
Well.
Nobody's going to tell me how to talk. That's what I'm saying. I'll say anything I want to say anytime I want to say it. If you don't like it, don't listen.
See, I'm using the N-word right now. Be nice, Nick. There you go. There's an N-word for you.
There's nothing funny about that. I'm like starting to think I'm going to maybe put your picture on your shirt.
I would even allow you to do that. My picture on your shirt. I'd take that. That'd be great. Wouldn't be the worst thing I've been called.
Listen, we've got an idea on the City of Reading clips. I'd sure like to get these on here. So let's go ahead and try that. Are you ready, Tyler?
What we're going to have to do is cut your mic for a minute, and then I can try to turn them on. So let's try to do that.
We'll try that. This is worth hearing, folks.
We're gonna try it. Here we go. So cutting you guys off and playing it.
Anybody in the council got a motion? Do you have a motion? Do not?
Yeah, just not going to work, boys.
Okay, we're back on. Sorry about that. That's really a disappointment, and I'll try and get to it in the future. We'll try and get that figured out. But if you want to hear it, go to the City of Reading's website, click on Video Archives, then Meeting Videos, and then scroll down and click on the City of Reading Council Meeting Videos, and it's the first video.
I think it's December 5th was the date. And
then you start at, I'm going to give you the timestamp. You start at 30 minutes and 8 seconds, and you just listen to it till 39:55.
Folks, I got to tell you, it is definitely worth it. And, you know, Michael DeQuisto, I don't know the man personally. I've actually just recently got to meet him when he did a presentation to the Board of Realtors. I'm really liking Mike. You know, he has brought stuff out that the city council was doing behind closed doors, including Ms. Erin Reasoner et al. And now Mike, in this clip, which is definitely worth listening to, he lays it out. He's not holding punches. There's no political correctness. It make sure you have your kids out of the room because it's R-rated because he's giving the
there's only one bad word.
No,
here.
I know that.
The rest of it's all the truth.
But I'm trying to get interest, Nick. I'm trying to get him to go there and listen because Michael really lays it out the way it is.
Liberals don't like profanity, so they'll probably go there.
Except when they use F on us. Then it's okay. Then it's all right. So, no, actually, Mr. DeQuisto really stepping it up for Mark Mazzano. Quite impressive, to be honest with you.
There was 8 or 10 speakers. Not one of them spoke a bad word about Mark Mazzano. He's done so much for this community, been so involved. And the thing is he's running for Megan Daly's spot in the California Assembly.
Yes.
And a couple months after he declared this, Tanessa Audette, she declared that she's running for it.
Yeah.
And she's been on the board for 1 year. Mark is starting his fourth year. And she has absolutely zero accomplishments as a city council person.
Like Reasoner. They have nothing.
That's right.
Zero.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And so you've got the three Bethelites up there. You've got Jack Munch. You've got Tanessa Audette. And you've got Julie Winter. And it was a 3-2 vote.
Yep.
And the only reason that she wanted to be mayor, in my opinion, so it says underneath her name on the ballot, current mayor of Reading.
Yep.
And on top of that, it was Nevada County and Placer County endorsed her just a day or two ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, yes. And who cares? They're a bunch of liberals anyway.
Well, you know, what's funny is when all the dust had settled, then the new mayor had to act so surprised. She even tapped her chest a couple times, like, oh, my God, I was unprepared.
And her husband and kids happened to be there to get a picture.
And DeQuisto was like, BS was his exact word, and I'm not doing the acronym. He did the full word, because she was like, I did not expect this. And Michael said, BS, this is all planned, and it was, you had to hear it on the microphone when he said it. And I'm just telling you, folks, high drama was held at the city council, and they railroaded Mr. Mazzano, and Mark really, historically, by their tradition, should have been the mayor, and not only that, but he's done a lot of good stuff while he's been on the panel.
And he handled it with more class than I don't think anybody else could. He sat up there. He knew what was going on. He kept a smile on his face. He didn't say anything bad. Mark Mazzano was a class act. He was a highway patrolman. He retired from that. I'll bet you if you were going to be pulled over, he's the one you'd want to pull you over because he'd listen to you.
Yeah. We had him on the show when he was running, and it was a very interesting, hour show, and he was just a really nice, professional, tied-up guy. So I wish him a ton of luck, and we'll do all we can to promote his candidacy versus debts. But it was high crimes and misdemeanors at the local city council when they took that from him.
Now, I've got a prediction.
Please, now, Nick, now, everybody listen up. Get ready to make the date time note because he's making a prediction. This is like Nostradamus.
Especially you Cowboys.
Ooh.
They're going to sign off and give the convention center and the posse grounds to, what is it? K2, Populous,
McConnell.
McConnell and Turtle Bay, although Turtle Bay doesn't have a dang thing in the pot. They got their name on there, and they can justify it. But, yeah, you betcha. It's 3-2 now, and all three of those – Odette wasn't on the council at the time when it came up, but she was in favor of it. Now they've got a 3-2 vote on there.
Yep. And I didn't even think about that.
In my opinion, you can say bye-bye. In fact, they ought to do it real soon and save the city about $1 million. They can cancel out that riverfront specific plan, unless their plan is to take a bunch of Kutra's property through eminent domain and give that to McConnell to develop.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's funny, Nick. Michael came to the board and he explained how it went, how the original proposal to give it away, basically sell, they call it selling, but give it away to McConnell Foundation came about, and had Aaron not abstained, it would have been gone already.
Oh,
so,
yeah. The reason she abstained is she didn't want to take a stand because she is running for the county supervisor. Yeah. If she knew she was going to lose, she would have gave it away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so watch that, folks. That'll be a big thing in Reading here in the near future, and I say near 1 to 3 years. That riverfront property will probably find its way into K2, which gets a ton of money from you and me in the form of quote unquote government grants. And when they talk about grants or rebates, basically they're saying people who are not involved are giving money to these people, and K2 has done extremely well. Now, granted, they're building some nice buildings, but they're doing quite well with our money, so they can become richer. And McConnell's going to get this money at the riverfront area, and it's going to change the landscape.
Brent Weaver's done well too with these grants. You know, I remember years ago, not a lot of years ago, I'd gather 5 to 7 or so, Les Melberg and Melberg Rosetto and whatever his other name is, the big architects in town,
mm-hmm.
They commissioned San Luis Obispo's architecture school to come up with a plan down there, and they were going to try and develop all that behind, without Kutris's blessings. It was just like, you know, McConnell owned it, and their 50-year lease was just about up.
Yep.
You know, they got that 50-year lease from Bob Spade. He's the original guy that had that 50-year lease. I wonder what they gave for that.
Well, you know, it's I do have both sides of my eyes on this, because we have such an amazing riverfront. I mean, we've got this massive river running right through the middle of our town that if we could somehow develop it, that would be really, really cool versus a bunch of homeless camps. So, I mean, I get that. I'll take that as I do that. But it's private property. And in the case of the some of it, it's city property, which means you and I own it. Well, if you're in the city, you do.
I don't see a lot of homeless in Kutris's.
Well, no, I'm just saying from along the river, if you go do a float, I've heard from people fishing.
Oh, yeah, that's city of Reading property.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is if there was a way we could turn that into, you know, useful tax-based entertainment or whatever, I like that idea. But you just can't go and ramrod it through without, you know, the owners having an input.
In my opinion, they should incentivize Kutris to develop it certain ways, if that's what they want to do, instead of changing the plan and shoving it down his throat, how they're going to develop it. I understand about a third of the property with their plan was taken up for walking trails.
Well, yeah.
Hey, just a second here. Donna, we don't take calls, so we're going to take your call. Be quick. What's up? Oh, she hung up.
I think when you say we don't take calls, she hung up. Donna, I'm sorry about that. That's just Nick again. But no, I think you're right. You know, make an offer. You know, the old art of negotiations, Donald Trump. You got to make it somehow win-win. Go to Kutris and say, hey, what do you want? How are we going to do this? What can we do to work with you? I mean,
there you go. You watch. They're going to take it through eminent domain.
Well,
that's my opinion. You look at that Knight's Inn down there, that
hotel
that's boarded up.
Yeah.
That's blight. We got to take that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I had suggested they make it a homeless campus, fix that hotel up like Anderson did with those dilapidated hotels down there, made them senior apartments.
Oh.
They could do that. There's a restaurant there for them, and they've got that open field right there. They could put up tents and everything. That'd be an ideal place for a homeless camp.
I would not like that. I would hate that idea, Nick, just because then you have to see it every single day when you drive on the freeway. But we see them anyways. What's the difference?
Shoving it down Turtle Bay's throat. That's what's good about it.
You know, when it comes to the homeless folks, I'm going to tell you a little side story about how creative these people are. I recently did an escrow for a client, names not to be mentioned, but the homeless had actually, they were getting on the roof, and they lit a fire and were burning a fire on the roof material.
That's North Michelli Lane. That's those dental offices up there.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny. So the homeless people are very creative. They got up on the roof. They lit a fire. And I think the person who lit the fire must have realized they were going to burn the building down with them on it. And they stopped. But that's just what the homeless people do. They don't care. They just don't care. Well, they're going to destroy whatever they have because it's not their problem.
Yeah.
So having your idea of building that, making that a homeless camp, I don't like that one, Nick.
Well, you never have agreed with my ideas about making a homeless camp. What do you want to do, petition off Costco's empty building over there?
Well, that's a good start, but then that's not fair to those neighbors. I think we need to rent buses and send them back to San Francisco. Like
oh,
Jack
Munns, I brought up the deal about Jason Miller witnessing...
the buses, the white buses.
Dropping off convicts. Jack Munns, I saw him at the supervisors meeting, and he said he'd gone down and talked to Jason Miller. And, this stuff comes up all the time, and nobody can provide us a picture. It's the same old, same old. They know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a shuck and jive.
Yeah.
But, Donna, I'm nicer to you. Be quick, but we're going to give you the minutes. What do you got?
She hung up again.
Oh, well, Donna hung up again. Sorry about that. So, no, Nick, you and I don't agree on it because... I understand. You live in the middle of it. You get to see it a lot. I don't live in the city anymore, but I used to see it at my house. One of the reasons I did sell is because we were seeing people, and they were setting up tents and camps. I mean, right down below us on the river trail. And I wish I had a magic bullet. I don't. I just know that you can't be nice to these people. You've got to make it difficult, not easy. If it's hard, they're not going to want to be here. If you make it easy, you're going to attract them. The old don't feed the bears analogy comes. The easier we make it, the more we seem to get.
Well, the thing is, I've got a soft spot for him. I've developed because of Kevin Cry and Mark Mazzano. I have a soft spot for our local homeless that are there. They're not there because of, even though they're there. If they want help, I don't mind giving our guys help. But we're getting people imported from all over the West Coast.
Well, I said it before.
Show me a picture of a bus dropping them off. Hey, come on.
We had a lady, and I'll just say it because everybody's so much into race these days. We had a black lady who did a presentation, a three-minute song and dance at the Board of Supervisors, and she had to pick somebody up at a location in Reading. And per her testimony, video recorded, you can go find it. She said that when she went there, the bus unloaded, everybody got off the bus, and she started asking people where were they from, and all of them said they were sent there from San Francisco. And that's a public testimony. And this lady had no reason to lie about it. She had no reason to be, she wasn't looking for grandstanding. So, folks, don't kid yourself. We are getting an influx of people from out of our area. And it's getting worse.
She runs an apartment complex on Lake Boulevard or up there around close. And I sent that clip to Chief Shuler, and nobody could find her.
Ah.
I dare say that. There's something else I wanted to bring up here.
Well, do we want to try a third time a charm? Or she's not here?
The Chinese bio lab.
I think she's still online if you guys want to talk.
Yeah, well, we're going to do three turns.
Let's try for
three
the third
times a charm. Let's see if we can get Don on the line quickly.
Here we go. I think she's there.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
What do you got for us real quick?
Is this Nick?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to thank you for what you do at the city council meetings. And I'm going to say, it was so hard. And the other thing I wanted to say, it just seems like a Gary Ked replay.
Doesn't it, though?
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But I just want to know, I appreciate what you do at the city council meetings.
Well, thank you. All I do is complain and point out the truth.
I know. That's what I love about it.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Donna.
You're welcome.
Have a great day, Donna.
Bye-bye.
So let's talk about what you were just about to bring up.
The China Bio Lab.
Oh, yes. You mean the one down by Fresno that was operating with shell companies and all kinds of stuff in it. Yes, that one.
One guy, Jesse Hsu, he goes by four names and he's wanted in Canada. He was the big cheese.
Yeah.
And on November 14th, when the released congressional report about it was put out, that's the same day that Z was in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big news down there, and that report didn't get out. And let's see, Jim Costa, he is the representative for that area, and He didn't have much to say about it. Oh, he said they knew about it for months, and there's other labs in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese labs. Now, we've got our own lab for infectious diseases in Fort Detrick.
Yeah.
And this lab down there, they found Ebola, COVID, HIV. What's all that doing down there? And if it hadn't been for a meter maid noticing a hose sticking out that was draining something, we'd have never known.
Well, you know, Nick, if I'm going to be honest, and I try to be honest, we get what we're dishing out. I mean, it was us who funded and supported the Chinese labs, and the lab in particular that brought us the great beer sickness, the Rona. And then in the beginning of the Ukraine war, this is a fact. Look it up. Don't believe me. I'm just telling these folks, don't listen to me. But look it up. The Defense Department has admitted we had 41 bio labs in Ukraine that Russia blew up in the first couple weeks of the war. What the hell are we doing with bio labs in other countries? If we're going to do it, you know, it's going to come to us, and especially when it's coming to China. And what's funny is China doesn't even need to do it. All they got to do is keep sending the fentanyl over the southern border. They're killing six figures of Americans every year, and it's going to go up because more and more is coming across under Mr. Biden and the liberals. So why do they need a bio lab? They're killing us at, a hefty pace every single day.
This Chinese bio lab, somebody questioned if maybe it was an independent contractor from the feds, our federal government.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't doubt anything if Fauci does.
If you wanted to know more about this is on Michael Savage, and he's having an interview with James O'Keefe.
Oh.
And I think it just came out recently. A friend of mine, Jenny, sent this to me.
Well, you know, speaking of China, Nick, I try to bring in some world news when I can. They are trying really hard with the WHO to break out the next pandemic. Apparently, there's some childhood influenza, and they've gone back to masking and this and that. So, you know, China is really at the forefront of a country we should be watching. But, you know, a Cambridge University study, along with German, along with Sweden, along with other countries, have come out and said masking makes it worse. You're more likely to get COVID or other sicknesses by wearing masks. And when you see those Karens out there wearing masks and, you know, looking all sanctimonious, realize two things. They're Biden voters and they're uninformed.
And they're ugly.
Well, I don't know about that. But my point being is the masking doesn't work, but the WHO, World Health Organization, and China are trying like a son of a gun to restart another pandemic, and they're doing it as a childhood pneumonia. And also on big news outside of Shasta County, since we've hit on Shasta County most of the hour, old Joe's getting us into possibly a fourth war. Guyana and Venezuela, there was a big oil find in Guyana, and it's about 80% of the Guyana countryside. And Venezuela is amassing military down there, and so what do we do as Americans? We start flying our military with the Guyana thing. So we've got Taiwan that's festering. We have Ukraine, which is hot. We have Israel, which I think we're going to end up shooting, because we're already shooting, folks. I mean, don't kid yourself. We're already shooting. We are shooting stuff down. We're providing, and then now we might have a fourth window. So all you peace and love liberals, that's your president.
Oh, and we've got a little shaking of the fist with Iran also.
Oh, well, that I'm putting that as with Israel. So all you peace and love liberals, that's your guy under Trump. Didn't have a single one of those.
You know what the answer
is? We took out two terrorists. That's what we did.
The answer is go to one national currency like we were just talking.
Oh, the central digital currency, yes.
Yes, and give up your guns.
Yes.
That'll be the answer to it. Either that or mushrooms.
Well, it's like the WEF says, you know, World Economic Forum under Klaus Schwab, probably the second most evil man on planet Earth next to George Soros, is, you know, by 2030, you will own nothing and you'll be happy about it. That's the liberal utopia. That's what they support. Those are the people that...
If you don't have anything and you don't aspire for anything, you're going to be happy. You know, the happiest people in Mexico are the peasants, the dirt poor peasants.
Oh, I believe that.
They don't know any better.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know better, then it's easy to be happy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, it's funny you bring up China. I just thought I would bring in some interesting side notes for you that China is, again, doing their thing. Your finger went in the air, and it wasn't the middle finger. What is it, Nick?
Well, that's a half a peace sign. it's a signal. We got 1 minute left. So, anyway, what are we going to do for Christmas Eve? We're due to be on the show the day before Christmas.
Oh, gosh. I'll wear my Santa suit.
Okay, yeah. You want to do it?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. We'll be here.
Yeah,
maybe we can sing. I can warm up my vocal cords here.
Yeah, well, you do it every hour that we're here every 2 weeks, so that should be enough for the next 2 weeks.
Well, I think it's been a fun show again today. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. Listen, here's something I want to leave you with. Sometimes the fear won't go away, so you have to do it afraid.
Yep.
You know, and that's the first time I got on the radio.
Oh, there you go.
You know.
That was the first time I ever met you, and I'm still here, so I'm terrified.
So...
Folks, it's great weather today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And Nick and I will be back in 2 weeks. You guys have a great day.